A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on June 30, 1991, entitled, Discerning the Presence. The scripture readings are 1 Corinthians 11, verses 17 through 29. The text for the sermon is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
One of the vivid memories of my childhood in church is coming into the sanctuary four times a year for the celebration of the Lord's Supper, and coming into Third Reformed Church in Kalamazoo, which is a huge Gothic structure with an aisle that seems to be endless, with row after row of properly formed symmetrical pews that go back into oblivion, to be at the end of that aisle and to look down that aisle and to see in front of the pulpit, for there was always the pulpit in the center, elevated, the table. But the table now set with the elements, the plates of bread and the trays of wine, but then not simply there on display, but covered over with a white linen tablecloth. And as a child, I think I always had the impression that there was a body under there. And I think that's why when I came back here the second time, we did away with that covering. I knew as a child there was something very somber that was to take place. I knew that this was a very special event. And that's good. But the specialness carried with it something that was kind of fearful to me. Some of you, as old as I am, can remember that the week before the celebration, there was a preparatory sermon preached. I can remember as a kid, I don't think I was a very normal kid, but I used to remember sermons. And I can remember old P. A. DeYoung preaching on, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. And if you had the courage to come to the table the following week, you came with fear and trembling, let me tell you. The church took this passage that I read a moment ago from Paul, and I am quite certain misunderstood it and turned the celebration of the Lord's Supper into a very somber event that had that element of fear and trembling about it. The situation in Corinth was such that the church was divided. In this case, kind of a class division between those of different economic class, which I'll say something about in a moment. But it's in that context, with Paul addressing what was happening in that congregation in terms of the divisions within the congregation, that he gives the institution of the Lord's Supper, as we have it in that paragraph. How the Lord, on the night in which he was being betrayed, took bread and so forth. And then he follows that paragraph of institution with this warning to those in Corinth who had been engaged in this divisive practice of sharing a meal that was to be a common meal but became a means of division. He says to them, look, examine yourself. Take stock of what's happening in your midst. Discern the body. If you don't discern the body, you eat and drink judgment to yourself. Now, there have been those traditions that have so emphasized that very few people would even dare to come and receive communion. And in our own tradition, there has been that about it. Almost a fearful approaching of the table as though, well, if you read the old liturgical forms, there's a whole list of sins there, and you could certainly choose one of them to be guilty of. But even though we knew that there was something wrong with that, because the liturgy says very beautifully, this is not intended, beloved, to distress the contrite hearts of the righteous, as though none may come but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this table to confess that we are without sin, but rather that we are in need of grace. The liturgy had it right, but the feel of it was not at all a spread of grace, but a very cautious invitation. In the Scottish Presbyterian tradition, they used to speak about fencing the table. You get it? Fencing the table so that no one came unworthily. Now, I submit to you that that is really a misunderstanding of what Paul was talking about. What does he mean when he says, discern the body? Does he mean have a proper and full understanding of how the bread is the sign and seal of the body of Christ and how the cup is the sign and seal of His blood? Does he mean that we have to understand doctrinally and then be worthy morally and have all of those ducks in order and then come? I don't think so. I think when he said discern the body, he wasn't, first of all, talking about the communion elements. I think he was talking about the body of Christ. In the 12th chapter of this same epistle, where he talks about the diversity of the gifts, sort of like we celebrated here this morning with the diversity of ministries, he says, in so many words, you are the body of Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us in Jesus. But for that narrow niche of time, God was transparent in the flesh of one. But Paul's favorite metaphor for the church is that the church is the body of Christ. We are the continuing incarnation. Or as Anglican theology loves to say, we are the extension of the incarnation. That which happened once in Jesus was not in order to happen once in Jesus, but in order happening in Jesus to continue to happen in the body of Christ. And when Paul says, discern the body, he's saying, be aware of the people of God. You're coming to these called love feasts, and some of you are well-to-do, and you are bringing caviar and champagne. And some of you are slaves and have nothing with which to do. And you would love to have just a cracker crumb from somebody's hors d'oeuvre. But those of you who are able to have caviar and champagne seem to have a way of getting off in a corner with a window with a view. And these poor slaves who had to work a little bit longer and always come dragging in late and really have nothing at all to bring are going hungry. Paul says, shall I commend you in this? I will not. Because what you are doing is dividing the body. You are not discerning the body of Christ. The body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, is the one place where there are no distinctions. Remember where Paul says, neither Jew nor Greek? That is, neither Jew nor non-Jew. No division between people racially or ethnically. Neither bond nor free, employer and employee, no distinction. Neither male nor female, no distinction. In Christ, no distinction. The church is the one institution in the whole world where there are no distinctions. We come and we kneel here with sisters and brothers, regardless of social standing, economic accomplishment, educational achievement, cultural sophistication. It all washes away here. And if it doesn't, Paul says you are failing to discern the body. And then you know what happens? You fail to discern the presence of God. That's what I entitled the meditation. Even though I was thinking of that phrase, discerning the body, because I want to say if we fail to discern the body, the nature of the body, we'll not discern the presence. God is known, not vertically from above, but only horizontally in relationship, in community. It is in the bonding horizontally that there is that transcendent one present who makes presence felt. And so this morning, let us discern the nature of the body, that we may discern, experience the presence of God. Last week I was invited to give a talk at the Reform Network of Addiction and Abuse, holding its second national conference out in New Jersey. You know that I am addicted to AA, Al-Anon, Alateen, CODA, and what other 12-step groups are in the forming. I believe that all of those groups have simply borrowed a page out of the gospel and made it work in a way in which I would to God we in the church were able to make it work. I'll tell you, folks, you are a remarkable community. I love you with all my heart. I think you're the best there is. But you don't hold a candle to the AA groups that meet around the community. When I'm with those people, I really know what our life together should be. I spoke about telling secrets. You want to know the secret I told? I wouldn't dare tell it here. And there was a reaction group afterwards. You know, the group split up into three or four smaller groups, and I sat in a group. And there was a gentleman from Brooklyn that told a story, his story. And If he came here and told it here, if I interviewed him here, I would be, well, my hair would be standing on end if I had any there to stand on end. And I know the body language. There'd be some shifting. I sat in that group, and what happened? A beautiful bonding of people. Relaxed. Somehow, when I spend a little time with those folks, I see a people who celebrate the release that they've been given by grace, who are grateful. Never forget it. Who are humble. And who are tolerant. It's what Paul was talking about when he said, discern the body, where there is a beautiful, inclusive embrace of all who will come and share their story. As you come this morning to this table, how about imagining that in place of this kneeling bench, there's a huge waste container? I used to say garbage can, but that's got no class. I like those waste management ones with big lids and wheels. Let's just imagine that it's here this morning. Now, I think what Paul was really talking about, and maybe what the intention of our tradition was aiming at, even if it gave off some of the wrong signals, what we really need to do when we come to our Lord's table is to so discern the nature of this body and our brothers and sisters and how we are a part of it by the grace of God, that we can let go of some stuff. What is it? What is it that short circuits your appropriation of the presence, the steamy reality of the living God? What do you need to dump into waste management's barrel? Let it go. Let it go. Because if we could just get free of all of the stuff that becomes baggage in our souls, then we'll discern the presence. And a service like this, around a table like this, can be a time of wonderful renewal. And so, you are the body of Christ, brothers and sisters, one of another. And as we experience that, come and get the bread and the cup and experience that.